This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Well, he's back. Siya Sangweni is feeling a little bit better. He's been to PE, which couldn't have made him feel better. And he's sitting in the seat opposite me. Leanne Moll is here. It's Friday. Your life is going to get better from today on.
What makes Ben so special that he's not here today?
Oh.
I don't know. He's got some work or something he had to do somewhere. Yeah. You know how it goes. This show's a bit like timeshare.
Oh, wow.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Ben has a bit of timeshare. Monday and Friday, Leanne's got some timeshare.
And Tuesday.
Tuesday, sorry. Mm-hmm. That's right. And Thursday's Pumi has some timeshare.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we like to... Gord has some on Wednesday, so everybody has a little bit of the action.
Very good.
It's like one of those cakes. It's too rich to eat all of it.
Ooh.
So you just have to have a tiny little piece. That's how I see it.
That's quite a way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, it's a Friday.
I know, it's the best, right? Got any plans for the weekend? And don't forget, next weekend's a long weekend.
Oh, is it the first one?
You've got a Friday and a Monday off.
I need to pull up my calendar here.
Yeah, there are a couple of these coming up, so get ready. This is always the only nice thing about April, because you know summer's over, it's gone, it's finished. You know spring is here, but autumn's here, but it doesn't last very long. It goes straight into winter usually.
You know that Jesus is going to rise from the dead.
Really? I didn't see that
What's
in my news brief.
On Friday was... Good Friday?
No, Good Friday is still coming.
That's next week.
Next week, Friday. Yeah.
Is that when he rose?
Mm. No, that's when he died.
Yeah, Good Friday is when he died. Monday is resurrection.
The Last Supper, yes.
Goodness me, Sia.
No, the Last Supper was before then. Because there are a whole lot of days. If you go into the proper old Catholic calendar, there's like Ash Wednesday, which was a couple of weeks ago. Remember, a lot of people gave up things for Lent.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a day for everything if you're prepared to look for it. Look, I mean, it's fantastic. I'm not going to complain. I'd like the day off. That's great.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. We'll take it. Ka-ching!
And family day, supposedly, on Monday the 22nd of April.
Yeah. So that used to be, I think, because remember, Jesus was dead for 3 days. I mean,
he rose on Easter Sunday.
There we go. And it's weird because Passover and Easter are always around about the same time because they were, it's kind of the time that Jesus was crucified was about the time of Passover, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that they move because they're on a day of the week rather than a date. Like April 27th is a public holiday for South Africa. It's Freedom Day. It doesn't matter whether it's a Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yes.
But Easter moves around.
It's because it's got to be on a Friday and then... Right. On a Sunday and a Monday.
Got it. So that's what's happening. All right, enough of the calendar for this. Wow,
yeah,
about 10 minutes on the calendar there. That's very exciting.
It is confusing.
Fucking hell.
But I have nothing planned for this weekend.
That's fantastic.
0.0 to do.
I might do something tonight. That's it for me. Yeah, so I've got to clear it. I had such a nice evening last night. I went and had dinner and caught up with a couple that have moved to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Very good friends of mine from university. The nicest people. They've got 2 kids. And we all met up last night. It was something... You know when people send out a Facebook invitation? I mean,
it's rare.
I know. But it was in my calendar from January.
Oh.
And I actually didn't bother to check until yesterday. And then in the afternoon, somewhere around 1, I sent a message to this calendar invite saying... Which obviously goes to everyone on the list. Looking forward to seeing you tonight. Actually, it was really, is this thing still on?
Yeah, testing, testing, 1, 2, 3.
Right, exactly. And then everybody replied, so I thought, okay, cool, it's still on. And they have been in South Africa for about a week or two. And we saw each other last night for the first time. But when I say, friends from varsity, this guy, Charles, and another mate of mine and I were kind of, inseparable at varsity. So we were really, really good friends.
Stooges, the Musketeers.
Yeah, something like that. Some kind of trinity.
The Holy One.
I don't know that we were very holy.
Okay. The
anyway,
unholy ones.
He's the greatest company. He's one of the smartest people I've ever met. Just supremely logical. I think if you tested his IQ, the machine would break.
Wow.
Sure. So what does he actually do for a living then?
Well, he's worked for a very big global consulting firm for the last 8 years, I think it is. And he actually quit just before they came out here. And he's going back to America and he's going to see what he wants to do. He's starting again.
Mm.
It's great. I think it's so exciting.
You know, there's some terms that just sound smart in my books. You can say, yeah, work for a global consulting firm.
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck you do, but it sounds impressive. Just like people who say they're in procurement. I still don't know what procurement
is. I have no idea what that
but
is.
But doesn't it sound professional?
I mean, I'll help you to understand procurement, but it's not going to be the definition that other people give.
No, you
don't want to know.
I'll still just carry on being impressed by it.
Basically, all you need to know is that procurement is what every business in South Africa has established in order to stop crookedness.
Like compliance.
Yeah, so when it comes to suppliers or people that are subcontracted, and within companies you have people who will freelance certain functions of the company out to other companies, procurement is there to make sure that all the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, and there's nothing dodgy going on.
No.
Because we've got such a rotten society full of such deceitful and duplicitous people that you have to have a whole department there just to make sure everyone's honest.
We've learned from our mentors, really. Yeah.
Our mentors, the government.
Yes, politicians.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's what procurement is, if you really still care.
Doesn't sound exciting. Yeah. Never mind.
Yes. We've got a lot to get to today. I know Leanne's excited about this. Norik Aise will come in. Do you know who Norik is?
No.
Do you know what thought you guys hanged out.
Do you know do you know what cosplay is?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Where you put on a costume and you play.
Sort of. Cosplay is where fans dress up and express their fondness for fictional characters. They act like they're fictional characters. Cosplay has grown in South Africa very much in the last couple of years. We've even competed at an international standard in terms of some of the cosplay conventions that we have.
Yeah.
Some people dress up like their favorite superhero, someone from a TV show, someone from a cartoon. Game of Thrones starts on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
A lot of people cosplay in Game of Thrones outfits.
Mm-hmm. It can also be a sexual thing.
Oh, hell yeah. With humans, it can always be a sexual thing. We find a way to make everything, food, everything. Humans are just gross. You know, yesterday I did an interview in front of a camera and there was this guy putting a microphone on me.
I can already tell where this is going.
You have to put the microphone, one of those little mics that you put on under.
So you had to put his hand under your shirt.
No, I did that. So I grabbed the little microphone, I put it under my shirt, and then at your collar, they tie it down or they tape it down.
Right? Yeah.
But he was quite close, and the breathing was in my face, and I was just feeling like, you know, I really don't need. There are days when I'm okay about it. Yesterday, obviously, I was just a little prickly about it. I was like, this guy's right in my face.
Shame. He can't help it.
I know. He's just doing his job. And it was a bit garlicky. I was like, fuck.
Did he linger for a beat too long?
Look, you know, he did nothing wrong. He was doing his job. I'm just really, really not interested in other people. I'm really not. I just find people are gross. When I wake up in the morning, I hop in that shower as quickly as I can because I just feel gross. I think people are just gross.
No.
We're organic. No, we're organic decomposing machines of like just gross. We're just disgusting. Humans are gross.
Oh.
How else can I say it?
I was watching
the
a show.
The way we have to brush our teeth, the way we have to floss, the way we have to blow our noses.
Poop.
Where we have to take a shit. I mean, we're just disgusting.
But I was watching a show about, it was a YouTube thing about people on the subway in New York. Oh, yes, it was a raccoon. Did you hear about the raccoon that was found on the subway?
That is not something.
No, what happened?
And people were grossed out because it was touching the pole. And it's like, well, do you know how many
humans are doing that?
Disgusting people have touched
if
the pole?
If you've ever been to New York, you will know that the subways are so revolting.
Ugh.
People are taking shits in the corner of the subway. There are sometimes homeless people who will like pee through their pants while they're standing in a train. It's gross.
Yeah.
Like New York is really disgusting.
And you know what? London's not far off on the subway.
Yeah.
Some stuff happens on there. I remember a friend of mine was standing with his, he was holding on to the little knob with his arm up, and everyone was staring at him, and he thought, am I sweating? You know, what are they looking at? And finally he had the guts to look up.
Oh no, oh no,
was
oh no.
A used condom hanging off of the ball.
Oh no, man.
You know?
Oh, what is wrong with people?
Who does that?
How does it even get to that point?
You know, really? Like, this is why the idea that a lot of people in politics have, that we should let government just run everything, is just so flawed, because even if government run everything, people won't keep themselves clean. They won't look after their children. They won't go to work. They'll do the... There are some people who are just consistently shit at everything.
They'll do the basic minimum.
Yeah, and they're filthy. They won't wash themselves. They're just bad people, really. There's no other way to say it. They're bad people, and if you treat everybody equally, which you should always try to do, you will sometimes find your best efforts are thwarted by some very bad people who just, you know, will take a shit in a subway. There is this train that's there to help everybody get to work on time. And instead of making it so unnecessary to have this conversation, but
you would think it's
it,
common knowledge.
Yeah, instead of making it pleasant for everyone else, like I can tell, I'm extremely sensitive about personal space for whatever reason. Maybe because I grew up and I had a lot of space as the first child. You know, I love to be outside. I didn't like to be indoors.
How long were you the first child for?
3 years.
I got a blissful eight.
Wow, yeah, you must be a little more precious about your space. But this is one of the reasons I really like waking up in a bed on my own. I'm not like most people, right? So the point I'm getting at is that when you...
Uh-oh. Try to not sound anti-human.
I know, this is so difficult.
Because you've already called us what? Machines of gross.
We are. When people walk around me, they're close to me, I try to get out of their way. It's like there's a reflex, like even if I don't know who they are, they might be massively important people, they might be unimportant people, who knows, right? I try to get out of people's way. I don't breathe down their necks. If I'm in a queue with them, stand right up against them.
My worst.
In the shopping mall, I try not to like bump into them. Like even when I'm walking fast through a crowd of people, I pull my shoulders in. It's a weird thing. I pull my shoulders in and I like dodge. I'm almost playing like dodgeball. I get past them without touching them.
So how do you take to handsy people? You know, some people love when they're in the middle of a conversation with you.
Yeah.
They want to lay a hand on your shoulder. They want to keep on tapping your leg. Like, oh, did you hear that?
No, don't like it. Unless they're very attractive. which all of us suspend our rules for that.
Yes.
But you know what I mean. You just stay out of people's way.
What you're saying is exactly what I do and exactly what a lot of people do.
So I try to stay out of your way, but for some reason, there are some people who have no special awareness.
No.
They are doing their thing. They will push their trolley while they're looking at the shelves and straight into the back of your legs. They will come up behind you on an escalator and stand on the step right behind you with their hot breath on your back.
I'm known to injure people who do that.
Really?
If somebody's standing too close to me in a queue behind me, I will swing my bag, I'll swing my basket, I'll step back onto their feet. I've had people say before, why did you do that? And I've had to say, well, why are you standing on top of me?
Look, I don't know.
Don't like it.
Maybe I need therapy. I'm willing to accept this is a problem of Gareth. That's not a problem of
society. No, I think if there are two of us in a room of three, then...
But like, you know, we always
fine.
We joke about...
This is a very unique room.
But Sia, you're also like this. I know you are, because you don't like your space being invaded. You are very emotive and you're actually quite a considerate and you're a very good communicator, but you don't like, I can see you freeze up a little bit when some people get all touchy-feely.
Yes, I don't like it, but I wouldn't now. I've never heard you explain that you walk into a crowd and you instantly want to dart and avoid people.
Well, not avoid people. Look, it's getting worse with old age. I'm becoming much more like hermit-like. But
because you're set in your ways.
I'm talking about if I'm walking through, like, let's say you're on a busy street and you need to get from point A to point B and there's people walking towards and people walking away from you. I try to zigzag without touching anyone. I don't want to rub against anybody.
Mm-mm.
Okay? So there are people, though, who don't have this. They are totally unaware of anyone else's space. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether they can't see properly.
It's also got to do with population. Like if you look at places like China, where there are just too many people and they have to stand close to each other.
Yeah, then they have less. Like, I hate queues, okay? Queues are my absolute worst thing. I went to a thing in Cape Town on Saturday, and there was a queue of people. I took one look at this, and I was like, I can't do
it's
this.
It's not worth it.
No ways. So it didn't matter that there was something really cool at the end of the queue. There's no way. That's not because I think I'm special, because people always imagine that you've got the superiority complex. It's because it genuinely does make me unhappy to have to wait there in a way that most people seem to be able to handle. I know people who can stand in queues, and they're okay.
No, you get people who camp out in queues.
Yeah, they find it. I mean, some people will wake up for the new iPhone and go for 2 days in a tent on the side of the road outside the iStore.
And they think it's all cool. You know, it's like hippie-ish.
Like never, ever. Ernest, who's from Naked Insurance, was here yesterday at a meeting with him, and he told me that he's going camping.
Oh,
yeah, in Botswana, which is, I mean, listen, that can be really fun. But they're doing the whole tents, and they've got kids, and you know, it's a convoy of cars. They're going with three or four other families. So it could be really cool.
Yeah, if you've got the right equipment and
sure, and
prepared.
You're with family, so it must be, you know, it's going to be fun with the kids, and you're going to be out there and their wild animals and their fires, and you're going to have nice food. And he was explaining all the good things about it. But I'm not a camping kind of guy either, so I just know what's not for me, and I'm able to avoid most of that these days, except when someone's strapping a microphone onto me or whatever, and then I breathe deeply and let it go.
Do you think one day you'll ever get to that point where you just punch people in the throat?
Never. Ha! No. You're like,
got too close, bitch.
Some old lady with her shopping bag.
So I need to ask
Leanne's already doing that.
So I need to ask you something, because I don't want this to sound like a morning complaint session. If you had to choose, would you rather have a funny-looking body part?
It
could be like a weird-looking finger or a funny private part or a funny foot or a weird ear or something, or be smelly and you're the only one who doesn't know that you're smelly?
Give me that funny body part.
Yeah, I'll have the ear that's on my forehead.
Because to be smelly must be bad. Like, I've always said to people, please, God, my biggest fear would be that I stink and people don't tell me.
It's so sad.
My mum tells me that we were in a pharmacy when I was little, and there was a man in the queue, homeless guy, and he stank, man. He was really, really stinky. And apparently I was pulling on her arm, on her sleeve, going, Mommy, Mommy. And she knew what I was going to say. And she was like, Leanne, let's talk about, have you done your homework? Where are we going today? What should we have for lunch?
Mommy, this man.
Mommy, why does this man stink?
I just feel bad for people who have bad body odor, people who have bad breath, and they just don't.
Please. Will you promise me you'll tell me if you ever think that I'm smelly? Please, God, anyone, just tell me.
No, I feel like
you've always been open about it. I remember sometimes coming into the studio and you would say, "Who the fuck had garlic?"
Well, even that, like, that's the nicest thing, right? Is that I feel I'm trying to be a good person sometimes by not eating garlic. Not for me, but because of the other people. It's genuinely because I don't want them to be uncomfortable.
Mm.
Now, I love garlic. I mean, garlic bread is just amazing. Mm. You know, if you've had a braai, sometimes the garlic bread's better than the meat.
Yes.
And I look at it sometimes. I go, oh, I really want you. I really want you badly. You taste so fucking good. But I know tomorrow I'm going to be around people. And to do that to them is just terrible.
Mm.
So I'll say, no, thank you. But most people are like, ah, bring it on. Chew on 16 cloves of garlic. I found out something interesting. A friend of mine went up to Kilimanjaro base camp. And he said, up there, people chew garlic.
Oh, yeah.
Because it helps with altitude sickness.
Mm.
I don't know what the pharmacology is there.
I thought it was just for vampires.
No, apparently it's really good for altitude sickness. And people chew like whole cloves of garlic.
So is it, oh,
it can actually, so it must smell, it burns.
It must smell beautiful up there.
Mm.
But look, I'm sure in an environment like that, you're just happy to be alive.
And also there's lots of fresh air around you.
Yeah, I think the last thing you're really concerned about, plus I don't think you get to bath and shower because there's all the water's frozen.
I don't understand why people do that.
I really don't.
I don't get it either. All right. Alexander has sent us a voice note. And by the way, you can do this. It's very easy for you to partake in the show by sending us voice notes, etc. And all you have to do this, to participate, is to send a WhatsApp to, or it could be, you know, a Telegram or a Signal or whatever, 0797482090. 0797482090. You know the number because we've given it out before. So let's listen to what Alexander says this morning. See if this is going to work. There we go.
Hi, guys. One more thing. If you're chatting about The Bachelor and doing a catch-up on that.
Ah.
What is it with somebody who can afford to have dinner in a 50,000 rand a night penthouse apartment in Sandton and do these most amazing balloon rides and epic adventures that cost an absolute fortune, yet cannot afford a proper bottle of champagne and is serving his potential brides-to-be, JC LaRue?
Oh,
I don't
shit.
Understand it. Like, spend the extra money and buy something decent.
Yeah, what a
probably
good
hashtag
point.
Sponsored.
So, Leanne, have you got your bachelor breakdown for today?
I do.
All right, we're going to wait because we don't have Ben here this morning. So he's going to feel like he's missing out, but we're going to do it at the time we'd usually do sport.
Okay. Good.
So,
deal.
That's how, do you know, that will piss him off.
I know.
We just replaced him with the bachelor.
No sport today, but we've got something better.
All right, I didn't watch again. I've been useless. I've watched one.
Yeah, you have been.
I've watched one episode.
Oh, shame. Oh, shame.
It's okay. I'll just carry on doing the work,
I really can't get myself to watch
emotional
scheduled TV.
Compensation for.
Yeah.
I mean, this was episode 9.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Okay. No.
Did you watch?
No, I flew in at 10. Last night.
Oh,
so,
good. So I'll be surprising you both.
It's fine. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So let's have the conversation. I'll watch later today.
All right. So if you want to send us a voice note, you know how to do that. 0797482090. And for Michelle here, she says, Damon is the yardstick for bad smells all round. How did you guys work with him, Michelle? Shame, you know, he...
No, he was actually quite self-conscious and...
He didn't stink.
No, he didn't.
He wasn't filthy. Damon was not filthy. He had some horrible and peculiar habits. Like, he would make funny noises and...
A mean burp.
And fart, but he wasn't an unclean person.
No, like, not
was,
at all.
He was quite fastidious about that stuff. In fact, you could even say a bit obsessive.
And quite the irony now with his fragrance, whatnot.
Oh, yeah. No. Now he's in the world of perfumes.
One of those things.
All right. So there we go. Michelle, if you want to send us a message, you can do the same. 0797482090. I almost gave that number the other day as my cell phone number.
Oh.
You know when people say, what's your cell phone number? And it was for some, it was like a delivery of something. And I was like, 0797482090. Not my number. Anyway. All right. The 5 things you need to know today. You ready?
Yeah, boy.
All right. First things first, let's get into a story about Pravin Gordhan, who has been subpoenaed by the public protector over that rogue unit thing, which I think we know by now. The whole thing was a bullshit story. It was concocted as a way to, I suppose it was a way to try to get rid of the guys at SARS who Tom Moyane and Jacob Zuma didn't like. But Pravin Gordhan's attorney has confirmed that the public protector has subpoenaed the minister to submit an affidavit related to the SARS investigation unit, so-called rogue unit. The Hawks have previously investigated Gordhan over these allegations, but the case was not pursued. It is alleged that he, a former SARS commissioner, established and presided over a unit within SARS that unlawfully spied on taxpayers. So there are two things going on here. If there was a rogue unit and it was doing things within the law to catch white-collar criminals, we can't really have a problem with it, right? That's how you get the illicit cigarette smugglers and the people who are living in huge big houses in golf estates but that are running hijacking syndicates. That's how you get them, by investigating, but within the law. You know, for example, I can't tap Sia's phone. If I illegally tap Sia's phone in order to get information, even if he's doing criminal things, you can't make a criminal go to jail because you yourself are getting the information by criminal means. Mm-hmm. In other words, it invalidates the whole thing. Similarly, if I do go to the court and I get a warrant and I have court permission to tap Sia's phone and the court believes it is within the interest of the state for this permission to be granted and it is not an egregious violation of his rights, then it's okay. Hmm. So there are procedures you can go through if you need to get into someone's, you know, phone records or whatever it is. The attorney Tebogo Malatsi said that they had considered the matter closed. However, Malatsi said he would ask the public protector for an extension. This is a matter that was raised in 2014, and extensive submissions were made to the public protector. So there's that issue of privacy, which is important. None of your information should be available to government just because they want it. There has to be a good reason for them to get into your info. But in the case of Pravin, we know that there was a big smear campaign on the go, which all the stupid mainstream media, especially the Sunday Times, God, what a dumb newspaper, they fell for it straight away. And then they caused, for all those people, Van Lochrenberg and, all those guys in that investigative unit in SARS, they were all fired. It was all very embarrassing. The EFF has refused to retract a statement on Trevor Manuel because of this appointment of Edward Kiswetter as the new SARS commissioner. So lots of SARS stories this morning. The EFF have refused to back down on their statement where they accused Trevor Manuel of a conflict of interest in the new South African Revenue Service commissioner's appointment. While Manuel had given the party until Monday to apologize, Eyewitness News has said a legal reply, which the EFF turned the tables on Manuel, has been circulated, demanding that he explain his association with Kiswetter. Last month, they issued a statement just hours ahead of the announcement, describing the appointment process as corrupt. Manuel apparently chaired the panel that shortlisted and interviewed candidates for the position. Now, the EFF said it was not enough for Manuel recusing himself from the interview process because of his friendly relationship with Kiswetter. In a letter to Manuel, the EFF said he must explain the nature of this relationship and they want him to specify whether he has financial ties or obligations to the commissioner himself. So part of this is like the EFF are allowed to ask these questions. They're a party in parliament. When the new commissioner, the new tax boss gets appointed, it's a better thing that we ask a lot of questions about him than we just accept whoever they put in there. So I'm sort of on the EFF side on this. But they say that there's a lot going on that they can't prove. It's all hearsay. And I do think that they are... The EFF extremely sensitive about anyone who they think is against them, right? They have this conspiracy.
Yeah, hugely.
They live in this world of conspiracies where everyone's against them. It's a white monopoly capital, and it's Pravin Gordhan, and it's Trevor Manuel, and it's the ANC, and the EFF live in constant fear. What a way to live, by the way. I mean, you must just wake up in terror every day and go to sleep at night like crying and hugging your pillow.
A little deer in the Kruger National Park.
Yeah, being in the EFF is a very weak place to be. These people carry on like they're strong, but they're really very weak people. They think everyone's against them. Total victims all the time. What else do you want to know? Let me see here. Oh, the Alex demonstrators. So the president went to Alex and just promised everything.
There's a lot of protest action going on at the moment, eh?
Yeah, just listen to this. President Cyril Ramaphosa told the people of Alex he was in the township on Thursday because he had listened to their cries and applauded them for protesting without violence. So here's the actual clip.
You want houses. You want houses. but you also want invasions to stop.
Listen to how he's talking to them like children.
The tone.
You want houses.
They seem to be enjoying it.
Yeah, well, this is the level of sophistication that we're dealing with when you talk to protesters in South Africa. You want houses. But you also want the invasions to stop.
Well, and duh.
Talk obviously. To me, like, there's no respect here. This is the point of the ANC, is they see themselves as a proxy parent.
That must stop. Now the dirt and the filth that I have seen here is quite disturbing.
Yeah, but the dirt and the filth that you've seen there is not people from outside addicts who come and make a mess there. You know, if you can't keep your own house clean and you can't keep the pavement outside your house clean, how do you expect anyone else to respect you? For him to even bring that up is just crazy, because he's talking to the people who make the mess.
Well, I just thought his entire visit yesterday was quite low, because I also read a quote of his that he said in front of the crowd saying, oh, your mayor is scared of you.
Well, it's politicking, right?
That's it. And making the most of the opportunity without actually dealing with the actual problem.
Again, the ANC have got nothing to offer. So what does he promise? He promises something he knows he can't deliver because he doesn't have the money to. But he says, a million houses. Now, you cannot fit a million houses into Alex. Part of the problem is Alex is full.
Mm-hmm.
It is brimming over with people. It is the closest township to Soweto, to Sandton. It's the only township that is within the bounds of the major highway. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore it is horribly overcrowded. There are people clamoring for space. You cannot move between some of the shacks and some of the houses and attics. It is incredibly tight. If you've ever driven through there, and I have a few times, don't think GPS is going to help you.
Mm-mm.
It is confusing as hell. It's like a maze.
Mm.
And sometimes you will drive and literally be clipping your mirrors on people's houses, on what is a road. And I'm not making this up. Been in there, go and look for yourself. So the president's there, he promises a million houses. God alone knows where he's going to build them. Unless he builds people houses the size of an outhouse toilet. That's the only way you could fit a million houses.
But we also know that, you know, they aren't exactly the best at building toilets either.
No, and he's not going to build these houses. And the other thing he promised was that he's going to create jobs. And he promised that he's going to build schools and all kinds of, and there's going to be tablets in every school.
Right.
Hmm.
Promises, 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 promises. It's just amazing.
So his speech yesterday.
Do it in the next few days.
We're going to do it now.
I would like them, because all of us, without blaming each other, without putting blame on anyone.
How convenient, because if we had to blame someone, let's think about it. 22 years or more of the ANC in charge in Alex. How much improvement? Crickets.
Yeah.
1.5 years of Herman Mashaba. How much improvement? Crickets. But measure up the time. Let's see who's done less in more time. I think it's fairly obvious. That's why he doesn't want to blame anyone. Right? We're not going to blame you for leaving your township in a mess, for littering everywhere, for not looking after your own house, and you're not going to blame me in return for not coming in here with infrastructure and proper water and electricity distribution and safe housing. Let's not blame each other. This is two groups of people who've let each other and themselves down, absolving each other. That's all you've just heard. It's very disappointing, and I feel so sorry for the good people, because there are good people in Alex who are trying their best to just live in a world that isn't filthy, where their children are safe. My God, these politicians, there is no depth to which they will not sink. And this one's our president.
Well, yeah, his speech probably ended with, and vote ANC, come May the 8th.
Of course it did.
That's how you'll get all of these houses and tablets. And I think the way politicians are going these days, May the 10th will be such a magical day. Or May the 9th, rather. The day after the election, I don't know, the economy is just going to change. There'll be tablets readily available. Yes. There'll be space to build houses. Because the way these promises are going on and on and on.
That's just crazy, right?
Oh, wow.
And like, you've been lied to for 6 elections in a row. Like, at some point, your brain has to kick in and you have to go, all right, this is bullshit. I don't need to hear this.
Something's not working here.
Correct. All right. Apparently, the Ebola outbreak in the DRC has been worsening.
Oof, it's very scary.
I thought we'd got rid of most of this, but it seems that 18 new Ebola cases have been confirmed, the highest single-day figure in the now 8-month-long outbreak.
It is quite... I watch a lot of medical TV series.
Well, you also have your own real-life stuff going on, which is very, very scary.
With American shows, whenever it's someone from Africa with a disease, it's always Ebola.
They think we're all dying of Ebola.
Yeah.
But I didn't know this breakout had suddenly had, this outbreak had started again. All right, one other thing that you need to know this morning. Eskom has, I just love this. Eskom have said, thank you, South Africa, for understanding.
But we didn't.
The grid has remained vulnerable. Eskom says the grid will remain vulnerable until at least 10 p.m. on Thursday. That was yesterday. But it's given the assurance that stage one load shedding will only be implemented if absolutely necessary.
Well, they're trying so hard not to have any load shedding ahead of the elections.
The cash-strapped utility says it's battling capacity shortages due to problems at power stations. It's always a problem. You guys cannot maintain or look after one goddamn thing. Eskom is a disaster. South Africans have not had to endure load shedding for a few weeks. Oh, we're so grateful, aren't we?
Oh, wow.
Because we're paying for
Thank you.
By the way, we're paying for it. It's not like you're doing it for us because we're nice people and you're giving it to us for free.
Thank you for doing your job, Eskom.
Yeah. So they said, just keep on using your electricity sparingly and then we won't have to cut you off. Isn't that nice? One last thing, I suppose I could throw this in because it's quite big news. Julian Assange was dragged out of the Ecuadorian embassy, hollering, screaming, and kicking with a copy of Gore Vidal's book about the security state. Remember, he's the guy who headed up WikiLeaks.
He went into exile.
7 years he's been holed up in that Ecuadorian embassy. Now, you talk about private space. Imagine being the Ecuadorian ambassador and the Ecuadorian embassy staff, and you've got this douchebag living there.
Stowaway.
For 7 years. And apparently he was a real nightmare guest because he would block cameras in the Ecuadorian embassy so that they couldn't see what he was doing. He would argue and fight with and be very hostile to security guards.
I heard he would smear feces on the wall.
I was going to say, there was something about farts or something that I remembered.
Disgusting man. And WikiLeaks is an awful organization that we all know is a Russian front. So anyone who thinks that Julian Assange was a good guy...
So how did they eventually...
In the beginning, we all thought he was a good guy, right? We always like, oh, well, yes, free information. Reveal all the stuff that's in secret that's being hidden from us. But it didn't take us long to realize he was actually a total asshole. And he was putting a lot of people in danger by leaking some of this information, including people who were fighting in war zones. So anyway, he's been arrested. Now he's going into a British jail, and he could face up to a year or more in British jail. And then, of course, they could hand him over to the Swedes, where he's still facing rape charges, or to America, where he's facing charges of all kinds of things, including...
He's got a world tour coming up.
Screwed.
Yeah, so he's going... Good luck, Julian Assange.
He's screwed.
Yeah, don't expect to see him with a smiley face for a long time. That's all you need to know today. It is now 6:45. CliffCentral.com. Let us talk Bachelor.
Oh.
Lots of people very excited about this. Okay, so last night was... What, episode 237?
Episode 9.
Right.
Okay, so there are 6 girls left.
Yes.
Let's recap. There's Michelle R. Remember the yellow dress?
But I love the ball.
Mm-hmm. There's Gina, Reva's friend.
Yes, she's on my list.
There's Jenna, who's on your list as well. She's the fitness blogger.
Yes.
There's Yozan, who's on your list.
I've got all the winners.
She's the Bloom Pretoria girl.
Yes.
There's Jacqueline, who's yes. the Portuguese kid teacher.
Yes.
And there's Ntombi, the token.
Nontombi.
Yeah, yes.
Nontombi.
Yeah, the token. That's so unfortunate, but that's really what it's dear. Come down to.
And that's what it, you'll see. But so the date card began, and it was a date for everyone to go on.
Oh, so they all went.
They all went off to Gold Reef City.
Oh.
As Jackie put it, we going to be racing cars.
Leanne's favorite part of The Bachelor is the bad grammar.
We going to be.
Lee was wearing this like loose-fitting wife beater. So it almost like a loose white t-shirt with the sleeves cut off.
Oh.
You know?
Okay.
No, I just don't like the
Did
look.
Did he look hot?
No, he looked hot.
Did he look hot? Spelt Y-O-T.
And then Jackie's very, she's known as the needy one. But she's got some valid points about life, etc. So, I mean, I have no problem. But she sits right up front with Lee on this ride, this roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
She says, we at that point now where you can't be holding back. And then she got greedy on the next ride as well, on the log ride. She was like, I wanted to sit in between his legs on the log. But, you know, somebody else did.
Oh.
The log takes 3 to 4 people. There are seven of them. Okay. One log is not going to have Lee in it.
Shame.
It's logical.
Did Nontombi get a look in there? Did she get to sit between his legs at any stage on any ride?
No.
Shame.
Absolutely
girl.
Not.
Did Jazan?
Yes, she did on the log.
Did.
And all the girls were complaining.
Jenna?
No.
Did Jenna. Gina?
No. And Jenna and Gina were both very upset by this.
Oh.
It's so funny to watch these women squabbling over a guy. That never happens in real life.
Anyway, they played a game where they threw shit and won teddy bears, and Gina won the
Oh, they threw shit. Like Julian Assange.
You get something called alone time on these group dates.
Okay.
Oh.
So, but Lee calls it, you know, he says Gina won the alone time.
Alone time.
So that's what it's called there. He also popped up to say, it's nice to reconnect with her to see what we had on our perfume date was still there and actually developed even stronger.
A perfume date?
Yeah, that was one of the previous episodes.
A mixed perfume.
What he's saying, let me translate from...
Because I didn't know what that meant.
Fucking crazy speak. What he means is they picked it up where they left off.
Yes.
They didn't lose the spark that they felt that first time, and it felt good to be together again. I'm guessing, I don't speak... Whatever this is,
yes,
but
it's like sportsman speak.
Yeah,
you know, he's very sort of neutral, and it sounds like sound bites that come out of his mouth.
You almost have to,
as if he's practiced it.
Can we have an interpreter, like you know, deaf people during the news? They have that person in the corner who's doing the sign language.
Yes,
can we have an interpreter with a ticker tape at the bottom, just saying this is what they mean?
Yes,
when the girls and Lee talk. So when, you know, one of them says,
we racing cars.
Then they should have someone saying we apostrophe re racing cars, and in brackets, bad grammar, so that you'll know. Because otherwise, all that's going to happen is a lot of young people who are into The Bachelor will think that's how you should talk, and then they won't get jobs.
Oh my word! Anyway, so during the loan time, Gina and Lee were snogging away.
Brackets, alone time.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were snogging away, and Gina gave his little ears a rub. And I say little ears because they said that.
What do you mean? They called
like
them
Lee
little.
Said, are you giving my little ears a rub type thing. So it was so awkward anyway.
So did you look at them then and figure out that they were actually little?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so that was
Lee
highlighted.
It's becoming more and more unattractive to me.
Sure.
It's the ears, he has a very strong jaw, and then the things that come out of his mouth are just
You know what, it's horrible being in the spotlight like this, really.
All right, what else?
Anyway, so back home, while Gina and him were having alone time, Yazan admitted, she said, I don't want him to spend more time with anyone else because I don't want anyone else's connection to get stronger than me and Lee's, okay?
Than ours.
Yeah. So then
the brackets things.
Jenna read the date card. The date card was the date is with Michelle R.
Oh.
And as Jenna put it, let's reach for Cloud 9.
Good, yeah.
It was actually a hot air ballooning date.
Nice.
And Lee very eloquently put it as they were rising. He said, so it's true, hot air does rise.
You know,
wow.
I've never been in a hot air balloon. No, I'd like to do that.
No, it's terrifying. I haven't been in it, but I won't. I'm sorry, this little basket. No, yeah, thank you. What if the bottom gives out or something?
Oh, don't say it. Okay. Yep, that's it. Oh, I'm not going there now.
You two are ridiculous. All right, yeah.
So they watched the sunrise. They were over wildlife from the balloon up in the sky with a beautiful person.
Beautiful.
And he said, I think I might be falling for her, said Ooh. Lee of Michelle Reddy.
That's Second a big time. One. That's a very big deal.
Yeah.
He really likes this Michelle Reddy.
How was Jacqueline throughout all of these dates? I'm pretty certain she was jealous.
Always falling apart.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. Then Michelle returned from this hot air ballooning date to the house. All the girls were like, I don't know, they presumed that she wouldn't return. You know, because if you don't get a rose on the one-on-one date, you go home immediately.
Oh,
so they thought that...
Not that they thought she'd fallen out of the hot air balloon or anything. Okay.
No, not in that way.
Shit.
But she came back and they all went, oh, I'm so happy to see you.
Which they're not.
No. And Michelle can do these weird things. I don't know. She had this Chegas packet with her.
Chegas.
And she said, I brought gifts from our date. She didn't say what the date was. Okay. She pulls out, it's a packet from a petrol station. She pulls out petrol pies and juices.
Well, she's maybe trying to be
thoughtful. Yazan says, do you think we're stupid? Tom's also called her out and everyone canned themselves. Then she did something else weird. She stood up and she said she had on this like cargo jacket and they asked her if she got a rose or where the rose was. And she said, well, you'll have to find it. And she stood up and they had to search her jacket and they pulled out the squashed rose. It was just weird.
Yeah, I think
very fucking strange.
Wait, maybe the producers are out of ideas. I mean, if they're buying garage pies and they're making them search her pockets of her flak jacket, I don't understand why that's entertaining. I really think these producers are like, geez, we've got to do something with these people. They're boring. Let's stop at the garage and she buys them some pies and we watch their reaction.
They just need to get them more drunk and let them be.
Well, actually, there's not a lot of alcohol going on.
See, that's it.
Drunken behavior.
Well, ever since Mara Lowe, Mnet are nervous justifiably about that.
Anyway, so obviously Michelle's safe for the cocktail party.
Okay.
But two girls still have to go home. Oh. All right. So it's actually the final cocktail party that the mansion will see.
Yes.
They're all getting ready for their home dates.
So we're also going to have that in South Africa. Okay, that is exciting.
Yes, home dates.
Yes, where Lee gets to go and visit the families of the ladies as well.
Right.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So during the cocktail party, he spends alone time with everyone except for Nontoms and Yozan. He calls them both aside at the same time.
Right.
It was the most awkward moment ever. And that's,
and you don't have much of an excuse because there's so few ladies left in the house. You can actually spend alone time with everyone.
And that's when Nontombi realized
her days are numbered.
Yeah, she was like, I'm onto this thing. I'm really not into this. And looking at Lee's face when he's with Yazan, his face actually really lights up. I actually think it's like a bit of a giveaway that she's going to win.
That would mean money for me. I'm happy with that.
It would mean money for you.
Right.
Gina's actually so pissed off with this whole situation that she considers rejecting the rose if she's offered a rose.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a bit of scandal. Like,
I'm actually not into any of this anymore. So.
Okay, what happened then? So now I need to know.
Two due to go home. The remaining four will introduce Lee to their families. So they're all starting to speak to each other about, well, this is what my brother's like, this is what my dad's like, that sort of thing. The first rose goes to Gina.
Oh.
And did she reject it?
No, but she kind of went, yes, I'll accept the rose.
That is actually worse.
She ummed and ahed, and then she was like, oh, fuck it, I'm in this thing, I might as well just take the rose.
I just got an email from Carl. He says he was flipping through a corporate clothing catalog to order jackets for his team And guess who's modeling the jackets?
Lee.
Yes, the Bachelor Lee in a corporate clothing catalog.
You know, you got to get them
Look
coins.
At that.
Well, he's a model. He's done that for a while, yeah.
Next rose goes out to Yazan.
Yes,
no surprises there.
Two for me.
Next rose goes out to, the final rose goes out to Jacqueline.
Oh.
Okay. So Jenna, the fitness model, and
Michelle.
Nontombi are out.
Wait, and Michelle.
Michelle got the rose on the date. So Jenna and Nontombi.
So now it's getting exciting because we've really got very few left. So who's still in the game, Sia?
There's four left.
Oh, shucks. Well, Leanne has Michelle R.
Yes.
I'm still in with Jacqueline.
Yes.
Ben is completely out. And you are now down to the two.
Gina and Yazan.
I'm still in the lead by a long way.
How's this even a thing?
Nontombi's parting words in the limo. No, in fact, she said to Lee in person, she said, please treat them well. They're so nice, all of them.
Aww.
And in the limo, she said the hardest part was falling in love with all of them. She was very reasonable and, probably my favorite person there.
I haven't seen enough crazy for my liking.
The Jacqueline crazy is always there.
But I need more. I need you to act on your crazy. I need you to, you know.
But this is always the problem with South African TV. And if you ask anyone who's honest in the television business, they'll tell you South Africans don't emote like Americans do. Like when we get cross, most South Africans get passive aggressive. They don't get cross. They don't, except in road rage incidents. But we normally just, all right, fine. And when we get happy, we don't jump around and scream and hug and we subdued. We're very subdued as a nation. Our reactions are much more muted. Americans, Nigerians.
You flip tables over, you throw plates against the wall.
Yeah, we're much more like Europeans in that respect. We, and even more specifically like Germans and English people. We keep it very tightly controlled. Mm. South Africans very seldom lose their shit.
I want to be pulled out of that house.
Screaming, kicking.
I'm not going anywhere, Lee.
Like Julian Assange. That's what we want. We want someone pulled out like Julian Assange. All right. Very nice. We've got so much to get to this morning, and we've got news on the way, plenty of other good stuff. So there's your Bachelor update. I'm sorry Ben couldn't be here because he's the biggest fan of the show.
He battled through the show last night. He was messaging us going, this show's so shit, I can't watch it.
Oh, really? All right. Here are a couple of messages just before we go to the news and everything else. Duncan from London. Stop dying, please.
Oh, shit.
Duncan from London says, really enjoyed the burning platform yesterday. I thought we were screwed when Justice left. First Canthon and now Ivo have been terrific. Usually I battle to listen to Pumi, but it's always great to have an alternative perspective. She is great. Leanne, thanks for bringing balance to this show. You're better than Sia and a close second to Ben.
Oh. Wait, so how does the ranking go?
So it goes Ben, me, you.
No.
You first. Better than Sia? And?
Yes, yeah. Ben, Leanne, Sia, according to Duncan. Oh. It is great being able to listen to you guys live now that the clocks have moved back here in England. And then another message is quite a long one, but it's worth it. This is, okay, a bit long. Just to let everyone know, Lucy's name has been changed to Bernard.
Hmm? Were you meant to read that out?
Blah, 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 blah. I'm just looking at this.
Are they protecting Lucy's identity?
Home Affairs. I don't know what this is. Please don't send me bullshit like this. I don't know who Lucy or Bernard is. So I don't know what that is. Ebola was created by America and they have a patent for it, says someone else. Big conspiracy theory going on there.
Mm-hmm.
People used to say that about AIDS. And it's just outrageous to say that. What you're saying is that, you know, there are people dying from this disease and that it was manufactured by somebody. And if you have proof, please bring it. If it's just a theory you have, or you've read some bogus internet article, rather shut up. To say that just it not only discredits you, but it makes you seem like you really don't care about the people who are actually suffering. Guys, is the Casper show still on? Where is that crazy guy? Casper's actually doing a live stage show at the moment, so he's not doing the show.
Oh, he's in... Is he in Jack and the Beanstalk?
Some pantomime something.
Something like
yes.
that.
Yes.
Jen says, morning, guys. A happy Friday. I just wanted to say I absolutely love blind history. I often listen to history documentaries while working, and I get into such a zone. It's great to learn while you work. Mm. I need more and longer episodes, please, and thank you. Mm. Okay.
Very polite.
Yes.
Please and thank you.
And then someone says here, I think you guys should check out Hulu's The Act. It's a true crime series based on the lives of Gypsy Rose Blanchard, confined to a wheelchair for the majority of her childhood, and her mother, Dee. Dee is accused of being abusive to her daughter, and by fabricating her daughter's illness and disabilities for the majority of her life, a symptom of the Munchausen by proxy syndrome.
Sure.
That sounds interesting. Oh, and then this one, on Leanne's comments about loudly asking the homeless man why he stank. I was talking to a Muslim guy in his traditional clothes at a hardware shop. My 5-year-old son looked up at me and said, "Is this Jesus's dad?" Luckily, the hardware store owner had a very good sense of humor. That's Grant and Nelspruit. That's great. All right, so if you want to send us messages, you know what to do. You can send it to 079-748-2090. Okay.
Which is not your personal number, Gary.
No, it's not. That's right.
This is CliffCentral.com.